I'm psychologist Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg, where all good psychology is God's psychology. For the next 30 minutes, you'll learn practical and effective psychological strategies based on biblical principles to help you to live well.
Hello, listeners. Thank God it's Friday. I'm Dr. Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and welcome to today's episode of Living Well with Dr. Peg. We're coming to you live out of Denver, Colorado, and streaming live on the web around the world on www.1220kldc.com. Today, my guest is personal trainer Kim Farmer, who's the owner of Mile High Fitness, and she offers fitness classes all over the Denver metro area. Our topic is holiday weight and fitness maintenance. Do you overeat or eat the wrong foods during the holiday season? How much is too much, and what are the wrong foods anyway? Do you get too busy with holiday parties, shopping, and cooking to stick with your exercise routine? To join the conversation or ask health and fitness expert Kim Farmer a question, give us a call at 303-433-8000. Before I go any further, I do want to thank my sponsors who are supporting this season of Living Well with Dr. Peg. Mike Mondragon of Aurora, Colorado. Jackie Beter, LLC, licensed real estate broker in New York. Militi Berhanamaskow, financial executive with PB Advisors. Rosalina Blanc at Hair & Nail Salon in Aurora. David Dixon, author of Notes to My Daughter. Luce Daniels of Keller Williams Realty, Denver Tech Center. Charles Doss of Let's Start Dancing. Kim Farmer of Denver's Mile High Fitness. Ordained teacher Kay Franklin, who's the head of the CCF Prayer Ministry. Global Change Network USA, an international alliance of ministers. Healing Center Ministries in Parker, Colorado. Ed Houston, your DIY web coach who provides easy and affordable web coaching. Lene Hutt, owner of Alabaster House. Pierre Laguerre and Warrior Properties, LLC. Love Properties, a father-daughter team renting apartments and single-family homes in the Denver area. Milwaukee psychologist, Dr. Sherry Johnson. Mr. James Pinckney III, Carla Washington Ford, Donna Westmoreland, a Denver psychotherapist, A Woman's Worth Ministries in Denver, Colorado, attorney Myra Rosa, who practices real estate and family law matters in the Denver area, and last but not least, my mom, Ruth Mitchell. Thank you all for your generous support, and I pray that God will richly bless you. This is listener-supported radio, so if you would like to learn how you can be a sponsor of this program, or to learn more about my sponsors, please visit my website at www.drpegonline.com. Every new sponsor through the end of the year will receive a free e-copy of my book, Do Something Different for a Change, an insider's guide to what your therapist knows but may not tell you. If you have enjoyed this first season of Living Well with Dr. Peg, please help me to stay on the air in 2012 by making a donation today. You can go to my website at drpegonline.com or call me at 720-212-4028. Well, my guest today is Kim Farmer, and she's a personal trainer and owner of Mile High Fitness, and she is passionate about helping you to be healthier. Kim was on the show at the start of the summer to help us get ready for our swimsuits, and she's now back to help us maintain our swimsuit shapes and healthy habits. Kim, she's live on the phone today. Kim, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am here.
Great. Hi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. So, Kim, you can't see me in person, so you don't know that I'm looking pretty good compared to this summer. I had a little rough spot there where I always get in good shape over the summer, and then winter comes, and I kind of slack off, and I slacked off like I always do. We talked about this last summer when you were on. But I'm back on the saddle, back in the saddle, and dropping back down to my fighting weight. So why does it take all summer for a lot of people, or however many months for many people, to get to their goal, either their fitness level goal or their size goal, their weight goal? But you can lose it all in just a month. You gain it all back and slide back. Why does it work that way? What's going on?
Well, it's very easy to put it on, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's a lot harder to take it off.
Yeah, why is that? Is that something biological or metabolism?
Well,
what's the deal with that?
Sometimes I think it's the devil.
Maybe. Flesh.
It's our flesh, exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's different for everyone because some people have a better time and easier time during the summer than they do in the winter, and then for other people it's vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of depends. But for most people, it's easier to maintain or lose during the summer. And then when the wintertime comes around, we're inside and the holidays are here, you know, Halloween comes around, we're eating candy, and then there's Thanksgiving, and there's ham and turkey and stuffing, and then there's Christmas, so it's like, and then there's New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
We have probably, what, about four months.
Well, and then there's Valentine's Day and chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's Easter and more candy and chocolate. So I don't know. I think we have very few months there where there's not something tempting us. So for me, the holidays are always tough. All the parties, the desserts and the treats. I've banned one of my coworkers from giving me her Christmas cookies because I blame her 1 year for putting on 5 pounds in a day. And she said, just because I baked you a dozen cookies didn't mean you had to eat them
all at once.
Yeah, so there's the desserts, the treats, the alcohol, you know, the turkey and the trimmings, and it's just expected that you're going to overindulge on Thanksgiving Day. And as you mentioned, just the issue of winter time, for me, definitely I'm an outdoor person. In the summer, I'm walking, I'm riding my bike, I do enjoy swimming, and so when I'm getting home from work and it's cold and dark, I really don't want to be wet coming out of the pool and wet hair. So it really is a struggle this time of year to stick with it.
Yeah, it is. And I just encourage people over the holidays to not necessarily focus on losing weight because it's hard to do that, but for sure maintaining it with, I'd say, about 5 pounds, because otherwise January comes around and you look and you say, oh my gosh, I put on, you know, 10 or 15 pounds.
Right, right. So
it's hard to come off.
Trying to lose this time of year is not the best idea. Our show is about maintaining your fitness and your healthy eating habits and your workout routine. So it might be unreasonable to try to be losing at this time.
Yes, it is. It is. I think that you shouldn't expect that of yourself. But to maintain and not let yourself, not give yourself a lot of slack when it comes to not exercising, I know that it's going to be a little bit tougher, but you certainly should, as much as you can, try to stick to your normal routine of working out. And it's not probably the best time to start working out if you haven't. I wouldn't discourage anyone from starting. But to be honest with yourself, or to be honest with me, I guess if I'm your trainer, to start working out if you haven't started already during the holidays is going to be tough.
Okay. And just because it's tough doesn't mean don't do it. Because I'm thinking a lot of people are off from work for a week or two or more over the you know, the Christmas season and winter break. I'm a college professor, so we have a whole month off. So it might actually be on someone's mind to think this would be a good time to start a workout routine because I have all this extra time. So it's not that you would say don't do it, but it's especially challenging.
It's especially challenging, and it really is important. Just take it in little bites. I talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And take things slow if you're just starting out, and don't come down too hard on yourself if you only have 15 minutes to walk, let's say. You only have 15 minutes, you know, that's all the time you have in your schedule. Well, you know, 15 minutes is definitely a lot better than nothing if that's all you have and that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly would encourage people to do whatever they can, whenever they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a strategy I really like to promote, is I call it my 21-day challenge. And psychologists say it takes 21 days to form a new habit or break an old one. But most people really don't know how to get started and how to apply that little tidbit of information to make lasting change. So I suggest that people pick one small thing to start doing, especially something that's incompatible with the bad habits they already have, and focus on what you will do as opposed to what you're going to stop and or not do. And focus on just that one small thing for the 21 days to make it a habit, and make it small enough and doable enough so you can be successful. So it could be, if I haven't been working out for months or years, it wouldn't make sense to say, I'm going to run 5 miles every day. So you're going from doing nothing to all of a sudden setting yourself up, I think, for failure. So I totally agree with you. If you've got 15 minutes, that's a great place to start. Get in the habit of doing that 15 minutes. And I think most people find once they, especially if they start out easy and they don't overtax themselves, they start to enjoy it. And they'll actually miss it if they don't do it, if they start out small enough.
Well, like you said, it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon your body does start to miss it, and you're looking forward to it, and you feel bad when you don't.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly
where you want to be. And
mm-hmm.
once people realize that 15 minutes does burn calories, it could help to burn off something you ate earlier in the day,
that's
chips or something, then it becomes more valuable to them.
Yes. The last time you were on, Kim, I talked about the app that I have on my iPhone called Lose It, and it's a free app, and I just love it because it does tell you that if you walk for 15 minutes at 4 miles per hour, you burn, let's say it's 75 calories. I don't recall what it is. But, okay, if I walk 30 minutes, I can burn off the piece of cake that I chose to eat at the holiday party. And so then I'm making a conscious, intentional choice that I know has consequences, but I have a plan in place to burn those calories off. What do you think of that kind of strategy?
I love that application. I would highly encourage it for people. I oftentimes hand out caloric activity expenditure charts, and it shows for each exercise how many calories you're burning. If you weigh, for example, 150 pounds over an hour, then you can look and see, okay, well, you know, if I weigh 150 pounds and I'm walking at 4 miles an hour, then I'm burning about 350 calories over the course of that hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said, then when you make choices of what you're putting in your mouth, then it becomes more realistic to you as far as, okay, now I know I can burn that off if I just walk for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that because it helps you make the right choices, especially
at
party.
And you're taking responsibility. It's not just, oh, poor me, I just don't know what to do. I can't lose weight, you know, I'm putting on. But I'm making a choice here to eat this piece of cake, and that's fine. I don't think you're saying we should never enjoy those little treats, but being mindful of calories in, calories out, as you talked about the last time you were on the show.
Exactly, yeah. And knowing how many calories you're putting in your mouth is good. I'm not saying necessarily to become a maniac about
it.
You know, but for sure, just having an estimate of how many calories a piece of cake has or a glass of wine has, so that you'll know, what do I need to do to burn that off later on today or tomorrow?
Or maybe
it's a workout, then, you know, get it in the next day.
Or maybe I'll choose to just have one glass of wine instead of three because I know the consequences of that. Now, I love getting your newsletter that you send out, and I'll have you give out your contact information before we close the show so people can subscribe to that. But one of the tips that you gave out, it may have been a year or more ago, was before you go out to some of these parties to have a healthier snack at home. I found last night I had a dinner meeting, and I knew it was going to be pretty late by the time we sat down to eat, and I knew I'd be just ravenous. So I also thought they may not have the same healthy choices I would eat at home. So I decided to make myself a healthy hummus sandwich with plenty of lettuce and spinach on it before I left the house so I wouldn't be as hungry. And then I was able to have a very small portion of what was being served so I could still enjoy the food and also really honor the person who had taken the time to cook the food. I didn't want to show up and say, sorry, I'm not hungry. And I even left myself a little room for a little piece of cake. And I learned that strategy from your newsletter to have a healthy snack.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad.
It was just liberating to say, you know what, I don't have to wait until 7 o'clock to eat when I'm starving right now. Let me eat something healthy now and eat a little bit something else later.
Exactly. That's a great strategy. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. What other great tips do you have for us along those lines?
Well, this is the season for a lot of parties over the holidays. There's a lot of buffets and potlucks and sweets, like you said, cakes and pies and things like that. And really, my whole, way of communicating with people about how to handle what they eat is really just planning ahead, knowing that when you get there, there's probably going to be cake and there's probably going to be pie. There's going to be alcohol, maybe a margarita.
Or two.
Or two, right. And so I like what you did last night. It's the same thing. The concept applies, I think, universally, whether it's the holidays or not, really. It's knowing that you don't want to go to a restaurant starving or a party or a buffet because you may make the wrong choices. So I encourage people to, you know, eat an apple ahead of time or drink a lot of water ahead of time so when you get there you're not just starving. And also knowing that when you go to a party, they have different choices for you once you get there. Usually they'll have maybe crackers and cheese, and they may have a vegetable tray with veggie vegetable dip along with it, maybe some hot wings. And so knowing ahead of time that, for example, one hot wing with buffalo sauce on it is about 75 calories.
Mm.
And when you think about it, a buffalo wing doesn't have that much meat. So you're not really doing yourself a lot of justice by eating that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, there's other things that you can choose that will help fill you up that are a lot lower in calories. Like last night, you said you had hummus. That's great because, to me, that's filling, especially if you put it on crackers or whole wheat bread.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the veggie dip a lot of times is made with sour cream. And as we all know, sour cream can be fattening. So while it's next to the veggies and it looks like it can be healthy, typically it has a lot of calories. It's high in calories. So you can just eat the veggie dip, eat the vegetables, maybe without the dip or just a small amount of the dip.
Mm-hmm.
Also knowing that a lot of people drink their calories through the alcohol that they take in. And there's good choices that you can make if you decide to drink alcohol, and there's worse choices that you can make. So, for example, a glass of red wine, I think, contains, a 4-ounce glass of red wine is about 80 calories, I think. But who really drinks 4 ounces of wine?
Exactly, yeah.
That's a very small amount of wine. So probably we would drink 2 of those. So we're drinking 160 calories in a serving of red wine, which is not that bad as compared to if we decided to have a margarita, and 4 ounces of a margarita is about 170 calories.
Mm.
So you can see the difference there. Margarita is very high in calories, as is Kahlua, which is oftentimes served over at the Christmas holidays.
Mm-hmm. The Baileys.
It's 188 calories in 1.5 ounce of Kahlua.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very high in calories. So I think knowing ahead of time what's going to be there, making wise choices when you get there, making substitutions, like I said, instead of choosing the higher calorie items, choose the lower calorie items instead. And then not necessarily depriving yourself of the dessert tray,
mm-hmm.
but just, small amounts of it, because it really is not, it's not nutrient dense. So in other words, there's nothing in there that's going to help us inside our bodies in terms of energy or vitamins and minerals. So try to stay away from that if you can. But I'd say, take a small piece of it, especially if, like for me, for example, my mother-in-law makes the greatest pecan pie. I can't pass it up, so I have to have a piece of that. So there are times that, you have to just take a small amount, and I think that's a wise thing to do, is just eating things in moderation.
Mm-hmm. So planning, choices, moderation, and it really isn't about depriving ourselves, but just making wiser choices and planning ahead for those choices.
Right, exactly. Planning ahead, knowing what you're walking into,
mm-hmm.
thinking about it beforehand, and then making choices when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a consequence.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, even filling up before you go on water and apple, eating the veggie tray first, and then have one buffalo wing. You'll already maybe feel more satisfied and full, and still get to enjoy the flavor of the sauce and all of that. Well,
yeah.
I know I invited you to a get-together at my home, and I did observe that you brought a great veggie tray, and if I remember, it may have had fruit on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that struck me that, we do have a lot of potluck events this time of year as well. And
right.
We can choose to bring what we know would be a healthy choice for us.
Right.
So that we don't go to a potluck knowing it's going to be the pecan pie and the cakes and everything else. We can choose to make a selection and bring it with us, so we know at least we have one healthy item that we can eat.
Exactly.
Great.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to ask Kim Farmer of Mile High Fitness a question, please give us a call, 303-433-8000. Kim, another thing that I find for me is I experience what I call mouth hungry. Sometimes I know I'm not hungry. I'm full. I just ate. But it's like I'm craving a particular food or the taste or the texture of it, even when I'm not hungry. I've been trying to pack a bigger lunch with a lot of healthy snacks so I can just graze, as they say, throughout the afternoon, especially the afternoon. I feel like, you know, there's so many temptations at work. Everybody has a bowl of candy on their desk. This time of year, everyone's baking and bringing things. And I know I'm not hungry, but I just want that taste or that texture. Do you have any tips on things that we could eat that might satisfy maybe the crunchy or the
right.
sweet or the salty or whatever it is we might be craving?
Yeah, I have those times as well, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think it depends on what you're craving. So a lot of people are really, really addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to be addicted to. I read articles all the time about when they do studies. Obviously, you know, they use animals and they use rats in these studies to see how addicted they become to sugar. And it is just amazing that they would choose, in this example that I'm using, sugar over methamphetamine in this article that I read.
Wow.
And they become highly addicted to sugar. And I think humans are a lot like that. And so oftentimes, I think it's in our brains that we're craving things, and our taste buds have become adapted to having certain things on it. And we really need to retrain our taste buds in a lot of cases and not necessarily look to something as sugary, let's say, as a donut or a piece of cake, but maybe something that doesn't have as much sugar or at least the right kind of sugar. So instead, choosing that, choose a piece of fruit because it has its own natural sugar in it, and it might just satisfy the sugary flavor that you're looking for
mm-hmm.
in your taste buds. And for something like salty and crunchy, I know the first thing that you think about is chips, probably, but you know, chips are very high in calories and typically have trans fat in there. So I always reach for, I love to eat mixed nuts. They have the right kind of healthy fat.
Mm-hmm.
They are high in calories, but because they're high in calories, they typically will satisfy you with just a handful.
Mm-hmm.
So I can grab a handful of nuts, and it satisfies the crunchy flavor that you're looking for, or texture, and then the salty flavor that you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
all at the same time. And then my stomach is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some of the things that I personally reach for. I can carry a plastic baggie full of carrots around. I know a lot of people may not be able to do that, but that satisfies sometimes my crunchy, desire.
Yeah,
so I'm looking
yeah.
for, you know, I can just eat a few carrots and,
right.
and I'll be good. Or pop a piece of gum in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That can take care of the sweet.
Right, if the sweet and the chewing.
Yeah.
I read once about not only carrying a little bag of the little miniature or sliced carrots, but actually carry a whole carrot. A really thick one. So by the time you gnaw your way through that, you've satisfied, you know, that need to
yeah.
chew and bite. And it's just so labor intensive that it could buy you some time. I've noticed that if I can delay indulging my craving, even by 5 minutes,
yeah,
sometimes it'll pass.
It just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
It goes away.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of the big carrot because now your hands are busy too.
Mm.
Sometimes we just want to be busy doing something, so we eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I find, what about, I think a lot of people have heard, it takes your brain, I don't know what it is, 20 minutes to receive the signal from your stomach that it's actually full. So we have
yeah.
a habit of eating so fast or eating so mindlessly that we're really
right.
not focusing on enjoying the food. So it feels like we didn't even eat anything, so we keep eating.
Exactly. I've read articles where they say, you know, some strategies that you can use is when you are eating a meal or a snack, to really sit down and savor it. Sometimes even close your eyes and really just enjoy the flavor and the texture of what you're eating, because then you'll eat much slower, and then your body, your stomach realizes it's full before you even finish the serving that you put on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
I think eating slower has a lot to do with helping people to lose or maintain weight, because you will eat less of whatever it is you're eating by just eating slower.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no rush today in our busy lives and our schedules that we just kind of chow down real quick and move on to the next thing without even enjoying the calories we just took in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're eating on the go. We're driving in our cars. I just happened to notice yesterday when I was driving home, there was a very long line at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
Yeah.
And it just struck me, wow, all of these people are going to eat their dinner probably in the car.
Because
a lot of them were just single people, you know, one person in the car. And maybe they were buying, you know, a bag of chicken sandwiches to take home, but I suspected a lot of them were probably by themselves and going to eat in the car and probably just wolf it down mindlessly while they're driving.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Definitely. That's what happens when you go through the drive-thru usually.
Well, and I wonder how much we just really need to learn to embrace our hunger. You know, like I mentioned, sometimes I'm eating when I'm not even really hungry, and I don't often even experience what it's like to be hungry unless I've gone way too long, and then I'm famished and make bad choices. But it really is, a part of it really is about killing our flesh, dying to flesh, that we're indulging cravings and using food to self-medicate and using food to comfort us when that really is just indulging our flesh. And it's no wonder that we struggle with our weight and with our health. And on top of that, the emotional issues still are not resolved or addressed.
Exactly. With food addictions and eating disorders, I've been reading a lot about how those are definitely more prevalent in our society. And it really is, like you said, I feel like dying to the flesh, or maybe it's not understanding exactly how the food that we're eating is affecting us inside and out. Everything that we eat affects our bodies because that's where we derive our energy from, and that's what comes out.
Yes.
And so we're just, you know, putting more toxins in our body, and it's just not positive. And so that's why I try to get the word out about doing the right thing as much as I can.
Yeah, and the scripture keeps coming to mind is taste and see that the Lord is good. We're just, you know, indulging our flesh, and it's really not benefiting us if we would ask the Holy Spirit to help us make some better choices and help us to die to our flesh. That would benefit us in so many ways. Kim, we're just about out of time, and I'd love for you to share how people can get in touch with you, and especially about your Zumba classes. I know that's something that's really taking off, that people are really enjoying and getting a great benefit from. So can you tell people how to reach you, and maybe about just a few seconds about Zumba? I think we're right up against the clock.
Okay. Yeah. If you'd like to reach me, you can visit my website at www.milehighfitness.com. And that high is all spelled out H-I-G-H, so milehighfitness.com. Or you can email me at kfarmer@milehighfitness.com. I've got some great personal training specials for gift certificates for the holidays. If you'd like to give the gift of health, then I have a link on my homepage that you can click and purchase a package for half-hour or full-hour sessions for someone. It could be yourself or maybe a loved one. And yes, as Dr. Peggy said, we do have Zumba classes around the city. Right now we have them in Denver in the Park Hill area as well as in Thornton. And so, and we also have one in Montbello. And those are also listed on my website, milehighfitness.com, under events.
Great.
You'll see all that,
And can you give you a phone number where people can reach you? I know some of our listeners are not plugged into the internet.
Yep, it's 720-436-3899. And I also have I've written a book, and that's also available on my site.
Great. Get Motivated, right?
That's the name of your book.
Great. Well, thank you, Kim Farmer of Mile High Fitness, and you can reach her at www.milehighfitness.com. Kim, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're always an inspiration. I know you're just passionate about helping people to be healthy and fit. So I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So again, that's Kim Farmer of Mile High Fitness, and I'm Peggy Mitchell Norwood, reminding you to live well.
You've been listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg. For more information or to contact me, go to www.drpegonline.com or email me at drpeg@hotmail.com.